some verses, and then we'll pray and then try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. Last year, matter of fact, here in the Jubilee, I preached out of the latter part of this chapter on what a sinner finds when he repents. But I'll look at several verses, and then I'll go down about two verses and kind of look at those for a while this morning. I won't hold you long. I just want to preach what's on my heart. Several days ago, maybe over a week ago now, God began nudging my heart with this thought, an unusual thought. I had to start Jubilee, but yet what God's burdened my heart with. I want to say this: if you're here today and you're not saved, you're in the right place at the right time. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus saved sinners. Amen. If he didn't, we'd all be in a mess. And I want to say this too: I'm glad it's whosoever will. Amen. If it had just been an elect pastor, I'd been left out. I guarantee it. I've always been a day late and a dollar short. But the Lord said, I'm going to include Shelton in my plan as well as everybody else. Amen. And I praise him for that today. Luke chapter 15, if you're able, stand as we read the word of God today. Luke chapter number 15, and beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I believe amen goes right there. I am glad. I'm glad that he receiveth sinners. You did nothing to merit salvation. I did nothing to merit salvation, but he called and said, come to me. And when we came to him, he received us and changed us in a moment of time. Verse number 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Skip down to verse 24. Verse 24 says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the good choir singing today. Oh, Father, I pray for a little while you'd help us all to lay aside the unnecessary things that would distract us and hinder us. But, Lord, I pray for a little while that the sweet Holy Ghost be allowed in our midst to work, that the Word of God would have free course. I pray us convict and save sinners. I pray backsliders and make things right. Lord, help us as your people. Bless in these days of Jubilee. I pray may you be magnified and lifted up, and we'll praise you for all things. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I've read to you in your hearing today a very familiar chapter in the Word of God. And we find there are three subjects that are talked about in these verses. There is the lost sheep of verse 3 through 7, the lost silver of verse 8 through 9, and the lost son of verse 11 through verse 24. And we find all three are mentioned as being lost. Now, ladies and gentlemen, hear me in this introduction. Draw in your minds and hear me well. It would be bad to be lost in the wilderness as the sheep had wandered off and was lost. It'd be bad to be lost in a far country. But can I say it'd be a lot worse to be lost in the house? Amen. They'll be in the wilderness just wandering around. By the way, it's inside of every one of us to wander. It is the nature of man. It is that old Adamic nature in us that is prone to wander through this world. Being in a far country is more of a choice. Amen. Some today are in deep, what we call deep sin, and it's because they chose to go that way. Amen. By the way, you do everything you do because you want to. Amen. The devil hasn't made anybody do anything. Amen. But our nature is to go after sin, and we choose to do so. But I want to say this about being lost in the house. We find a woman has 10 pieces of silver, and we find that one piece becomes lost. Now, as a way of introduction, let me say this. I want to look at that piece of silver as the sinner. Amen. Lost. And I'm going to deal with that word more in just a minute. Then the house as a type and a picture of a Christian family or the church house. And I want to use that woman as a type and picture of the Holy Spirit. And then the light that she lights this candle is a type and picture of the glorious gospel light that shines in the pathway of sinners. And then the broom, for she said, the Bible said she swept the house. That broom today is the preaching and witnessing of the Word of God. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? We'd all be in hell or on the road to hell today. But thank God somebody has shined out that gospel light and told us about sin and told us about the Savior. I want to say hallelujah unto His blessed name that somebody gave me the gospel one day. Amen. By the way, hear me well. You don't get saved in dead orthodoxy. Amen. You don't get saved in these liberal modernistic churches. Salvation's not an accident. Amen. And friend, if the gospel light is not being presented, there's no way to be saved. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that's too straight. Well, that's just the book. Amen. There are not many ways to God. There's one way, and that one way is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. I want to look at this verse in verse 8. It talks about how the woman has 10 pieces of silver. If she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. I want to preach on this subject, God helping me a few minutes, on are you lost in the house? Are you lost in the house? Now, I'd like to have one of them high kick it up messages this morning. I'm an exhorter by nature. I love Jubilee. I camp meeting gear. But God the Holy Ghost days ago said, son, you preach about those who are lost in the house. Hey, it doesn't matter if your name's on the church roll. Amen. When the Lord Jesus comes again, He'll not find the record book for Gateway Baptist Church. He's got a book, and your name better be in it. Hey, it's not about whether you've been baptized. Amen. It's not about all your do's and don'ts. Say amen. It's not what you gave up or what you started. But ladies and gentlemen, the question today is, have you really been born again? Amen. Not just having a little emotional stir, but God convicting you, birthing you in His family, a change in your life. Amen. Are you lost in the house today? Look at three things in verse 8 and 9 with me for just a moment, and I'll get out of the way. I'll look first of all at the silver coins collectively. You see these 10 pieces of silver. We see, first of all, their visual similarities. They're all gold, all silver pieces. They're made of the same substance. Amen. So hear me right here. There's no big shots and little shots in this place today. No big eyes and little yous. There's no downtrodden bottom dwellers and those who are uppity. Amen. You look around at us, ladies and gentlemen, blood, flesh, and bone. That's what we're all made of. By the way, I say this across the country, kind of puzzles folk. We're worse than dirt. Somebody said, I'm dirt. Well, you're worse than dirt. Amen. Why do you say that, preacher? Because we're made of dust. That's what the Bible said. It didn't say God scooped up some dirt and made a man. He got a hold of some dust and formed him a man and breathed in him the breath of life. You worse than dirt. You can grow something in dirt. Dust will do nothing but choke you up. Amen. But God's in the business. Hallelujah. God's in the business of getting a hold of dust and breathing life into it. Amen. These pieces of silver, they were visually of the same. They were made of silver. They also bore the image of a man on it. Amen. Listen to me. We are all born sinners. Preacher, what does a man have to do to go to hell? Just be born? Amen. It's not the sins you commit that's going to send you to hell. It's what you are. And what you are is a sinner. Amen. All them sins you're committing is just a result of who you are. Amen. Are you hearing me good this morning? I'm saying these coins collectively, they're a visual similarity. They're made of the same thing. They bear the image of a man. Can I also say this? Their value's the same. Amen. One piece is not more valuable than the other. Amen. You're just a piece of silver. Amen. In this passage of scripture, in this parable, they're all equal. I say it again, nobody's here more important than anybody else. And by the way, to bust your bubble, there ain't nobody worse than anybody else. Amen. Hey, somebody say, well, preacher, I ain't doing this, I ain't getting drunk, I'm not doing dope. But listen to me, if you're lost, you're going to the same hell that they're going to. Amen. You see, now hear me well. Sinner, I want you to get this. God loves you. Amen. Hey, this world may look at you and then just shake their head and walk away and may not care if you live or die. Wouldn't give you air in a jug. I'm going to tell you something, sinner. The God of heaven values your soul, and He valued it enough that He sent Jesus, and He took on flesh and bore your sin and bore my sin and nailed it to His cross that we could be saved. Hey, you're worth something to Him. Oh, you say, preacher, nobody cares about me. There's one that does. Amen. Well, their value, they're equally the same this morning. We see the silver coins collectively. But let's look secondly also in verse 8 at the silver coins' condition, the one that's lost. Hear me right here. I want to talk about this definition about the word lost just a minute. We hear it a lot in the church world, do we not? At least in fundamental churches. Now, if you're part of that saddleback mess, amen, part of these new mega churches of our country, you're considered the unchurched. But I want to tell you something. That Bible says nothing about the unchurched. Amen. It does say something about folk being lost and some folk being saved. Amen. There's not poor, middle class, and the rich and famous. Amen. There's two classes of people, lost or saved. Hey, this year in April marks the 100th anniversary of the Titanic's maiden voyage and it hitting the iceberg and going to the bottom. When the word came that they'd struck the berg and it went down, there in New York City, there's lists put up and there's only two. And those that were saved and those known to be lost is what it said at the top. And I want to promise you something this morning. You're on one list or the other. You're either saved or you're lost. Amen. This word lost, we realize it refers to the unsaved. But do you understand that word goes deeper than that? If you get your Strong's Concordance and if you've got a Vine dictionary, you'll find that word lost means also not only unsaved, but it means to declare that one must be put to death. Amen. Romans 6:23 still in the Bible. The wages of sin is death. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse there in that chapter, I believe about verse 15, verse 17 there, he told Adam and them, he said, you'll die if you disobey. Amen. And when they sinned, they died spiritually. Amen. And had it not been for blood sacrifices, they would have went to hell. Amen. Hey, hear me good right here. That word lost, when we say that person's lost, it means had to declare that one must go to the second death. Amen. It also means to deliver one up to eternal misery. Amen. You see, we're in a day. Somebody said, preacher, why are not so many getting saved today? It's because folk have lost sight of the holiness of God and the exceeding sinfulness of men. Amen. It's not one day God's going to say, well, I'm just going to let everybody into heaven. Last year, there's that so-called preacher, and I use the term real loosely about him, that wrote that book and put it out, saying there's no hell. I want to tell you something. There is a hell. And all those who are lost are headed to that place. Amen. It also means to perish, as John 3:16 declares. Hey, but that word perish does not mean annihilated or extinction, but it means eternal woe. It means you'll burn forever. Amen. We find he said that this piece of silver, it was lost. Are you lost today? Hey, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen yourself lost? I know we ain't jumping pews and running aisles, but I'm preaching. Amen. I want to tell you, getting lost is as real me, Pastor, as getting saved. I not only can take you to the spot I got saved, but I can take you to the spot I got lost. Amen. By the way, it probably busts some preachers' bubbles across this country. I got lost in Sunday school. Amen. There's a crowd down place, Sunday school. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. Amen. Hey, listen to me. I was raised in church. I didn't have a choice on Sunday morning. Davey, would you like to go to Sunday school and preaching today? Buddy. And I sure didn't say I don't want to go. Because my mama didn't know nothing about time out. Amen. Well, she did. Time out between whooping my brother and whooping me. Yeah, you didn't ask we going to church. You knew you was going to church. Amen. Hey, that morning, I'd known all them days from 9 years old and back. I knew who Jesus was. Yeah, I knew Jesus died on the cross. I knew he resurrected. I knew he died for the world. But that Sunday morning in Sunday school, as that precious teacher opened up that blessed old book, hey, not a coloring book, but the Word of God. Amen. She wasn't there juggling. She wasn't there whistling. She wasn't there with a bunch of other foolishness. But she had this blessed old book and opened it up. And with tears dripping off her face, I looked at 9 and 10 year old boys and girls and said, the only prayer God hears of a sinner is that of repentance. And for the first time in my life, I realized it was for me that Jesus died. That I was lost. Amen. I ask you again, are you lost today? Now, some would say when you get preaching messages like this, why, you're just trying to make folk doubt their salvation, get church folk make new profession. Oh, no. Because you see, there's a reality. There's some that doubt, yes. But the majority of people know the truth. Amen. You know if you're saved or you know you're lost. Amen. You say, well, I'm not sure. Well, ask the one that does the saving. Because he won't say, hey, you ask the Lord, Lord, am I saved? He won't respond, well, if you were, you would have done what you did this week. He don't respond that way. Amen. He doesn't say, well, I don't know, you don't act too much like it. That ain't the Lord. That's the devil talking like that. You say, well, preacher, what does the Lord say? Well, if you come to the Lord and say, Lord, am I saved? He'll say, yes, or he'll say, no. Amen. You see, this is the most important thing you'll ever know in this life and the world to come. Amen. You better know that you've been saved, that you're born again. Hey, it's a no-so salvation. Amen. We see that word lost defined, that it means to be declared worthy to go and be put to death and to be delivered over to the eternal miseries of the lake of fire. Let me say this, that coin's condition also, not only just that word lost, but it's down the dirt in the darkness. That's why she had a light of candle and got her a broom and began sweeping the house. The coin was not up there where the woman was. That coin was down in the floor, in the dirt and in the dark. I want to ask some of you that are saved a question. Do you remember being in the dark? Amen. Hey, you go witness somebody, said, preacher, many times, pastor, they may come by and say, pastors too, I've been with, but they just can't see. That's right. They're in darkness. They're in the dirt. They're in the mire of sin. And I'm, hey, listen to me. There's a time when I was lost. I was in the dirt and in the darkness. Hear me right here. That piece of silver could not recover itself. Amen. The silver couldn't shake the dirt off and jump into the light and get into the hand of that woman. Amen. You'll not will yourself to being saved. You won't talk yourself into being saved. Amen. Well, hey, without the Holy Ghost coming where you are, you'll never get in. Amen. Preacher, I don't know if it's Holy Ghost conviction. You'll know. Hey, there may be some things I don't know what's going on, but I know when the Holy Ghost gets to speaking, and you will too. Hey, that piece of silver could not roll or run to that woman. It couldn't do anything. Somebody say, what I gotta be? What do I gotta do to get saved? The brother back here in the Sunday school talking about hoping he could do, you know, get better and do things. Hey, a lot of folk trying that. A lot of folks say, well, when I can get where I can live it, I'll get saved. You'll die and go to hell. Well, preacher, there's some things I need to quit and give up. You'll go to hell quitting and giving up on some things. Amen. Hey, there's nothing of yourself that you can do. A dead man can't do nothing. Amen. Are you hearing me good this morning? Amen. I'm talking about, are you lost in the house? Hey, we see the silver coins collectively. We see the silver coin in its condition. Number three, I'll look in verse 8 and 9 at the silver coin and the celebration. Because we find in verse number 8 that there's a piece that's lost. That woman lights a candle. and gets that broom, and she gets down in the crevices and under the table. She doesn't sweep anything under the rug. Amen. Oh, hear me here. Go, trying to get saved, so now, Lord, I really ain't all that bad. Forget it. Amen. You don't get saved that way. You got to confess what you are. Amen. That you're lost and that you need Jesus Christ. That woman began to shine that light and began to sweep. I'm going to tell you, I remember that morning when the gospel light broke in on my heart. I saw how dirty I was, how far in darkness I was. Amen. Oh, I'm glad not only that. Hey, listen, I didn't get saved that morning in Sunday school, but I got lost. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost didn't quit that morning either. Oh, I spent that week hearing in the back of my mind, the only prayer God hears of a sinner is that of repentance. You say, boy, that's bad on a 9-year-old. Oh, that's good. I'm glad she told me the truth. I'm glad she didn't tell me all good boys and girls go to heaven. Amen. Good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. Oh, that the Holy Ghost still in my heart. Go back to church, hear the man of God preaching him, shaking that fist over that pulpit. Somebody say, why in the world are you worked up when you preach? Blame it on them old time preachers. That's the kind I was raised around. Amen. That's the kind God made me. Amen. Oh, they'd preach that book, hang you out over hell in a rotten corn stalk. You remember that? Hey, I hear people long and long. Back when I pastored, I've been an evangelist now a little over a year and 4 months. Back when I pastored, every now and then somebody said, Pastor, would you go visit my family member? And they say this to me. It's hard to witness to family. I know what you mean on one side of that. But I want to tell you something. You couldn't convince my family of that. That's right. My great-grandmother lived up the road from us. She lived in a little asbestos siding house. I know what a path is. No indoor plumbing. I know the difference in a slop bucket and a slop jar. Amen. She didn't have nothing. She was poor. But I'm going to tell you something. My granny would put us to bed and we'd spend the night with her, and she'd just pat us on the head and pray quickly with us. But then she'd go into her bedroom and she'd sit on the side of her bed and put her face in her hands, and she began to pray and say, God save Davy, and began to name everybody in the family lost out loud. We used to sing at Mother's Day, if I could only hear my mother pray again, we'd have to change it now if I could just hear her pray one time. And Granny prayed. She knew we was lost. My other great-grandmother lived up the road too. And listen, both of them grannies of mine loved great-grandyoungins. I knew if I went up there to Mamaw Settles, she had ice cream and 7-Up. And she'd make me a 7-Up float. Now, grannies are a lot better than mamas. Mama's measure scoops off. Amen. Granny's cut half the box out and put it in your bowl. Amen. Oh, I'd go up the road, walk up that dirt road to where my great-grandmother lived, and I'd say hello, and she'd say, come on in, David. I'll get you a bowl of ice cream and some 7-Up. And boy, that's sure enough. Half that box of ice cream in the bowl, pouring that 7-Up all over it. And about the time I'd grab that spoon, she'd look at me and say, David, have you give your heart to Jesus yet? Drop the spoon, forget the 7-Up and ice cream, buddy. Holy Ghost had done got a hold of me again and said, son, you're lost and you're going to hell and you need Jesus. Hey, my mom was the same way. Boy, when she'd have a family altar at night, she'd cut no corners. She was raising 3 boys by herself. And she'd look at us and say, son, you need to get saved. You need Christ. Oh, and she'd witness to us. I'm going to tell you, one blessed Tuesday night, the search was still going on. The light was shining in. Boy, that gospel broom was a sweeping around in my heart. I'd went to school that day, hadn't thought about God not one time, hadn't thought about eternity one time. But about that time, family altar began. Mom opened up that Blueback Scofield Bible. I don't know what she read. I don't know what she said, but the good Holy Ghost began speaking to me and convicting me and drawing me. I remember getting lost again. Amen. Holy Ghost deal me. Mama didn't pick me green neither. Normally she'd want us to say something and maybe even pray. She knew what was going on. She prayed with us, said, y'all go get in the bed. My brothers took off and she laid her hand on me. She said, Davy, if you need anything in the night or any time, come get me. I went into my room, little old two-bedroom house at the time. Me and my two brothers shared a room, and me and my little brother had to share a bed. Didn't have enough beds, so me and my little brother was together. He fell right to sleep, but the Holy Ghost wouldn't leave me alone. I remember rolling that bed saying, God, I'm lost. I know I need to be saved. Oh, I knew I was going to go to hell that night if I died. I got out of my bed, went through the hallway, went in the living room and into Mama's bedroom door, and I knocked. And she said, come in. And I walked in, and I didn't know nothing about no Romans road or nobody else's road. But I said, Mama, I want to know something. How do you know when God's talking to you? I done knew it was Him. I didn't know how to ask to be saved. She didn't say, now, tomorrow night's prayer meeting. We'll go to church, go early, and let you talk to the preacher. No. She didn't even go get a telephone and say, let's call the preacher. She got out of the bed, put her house coat on, went back, grabbed that same Blueback Scofield Bible. We went in the living room. She opened that Bible up and began showing me what the Bible said about being lost and being a sinner and that Jesus had saved me. That night I bowed as a 10-year-old boy. I called on the name of the Lord and He saved me by His grace. Amen. And I've not been the same since. Amen. I'm telling you, I know what it is to be lost, and I know what it is to be saved. Amen. I'm going to make a statement. I'm not against new convert classes. I'm not against new convert material. But I got up that morning with something inside of me. I'm like you. You mentioned, I didn't know everything happened to me that night. I didn't know what all happened. I didn't know what come in me. I remember praying. Something lifted off, and something came in. I found out later it was the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when I got up the next morning, Mama didn't come find me. I went and found Mama. And I said, Mama, I'm saved. She didn't do 20 questions. It done happened the night before I was in. Amen. I remember getting up that morning, going to catch that yellow school bus and go to school. As I grabbed my duffel bag with my books in it, the Holy Ghost said, you got a best friend at school, don't you? I said, I sure do. He said, won't you tell him what happened last night? I went to school 10-year-old, ain't had a new convert class or new convert book, but the converter had moved in. Amen. And I went to school, waited till he came, and told him I got saved, and I asked him, are you saved? Amen. You see, there's a search. Hey, some of you this morning, the Holy Ghost is hard on your trail. Yeah. Amen. You know you're lost. You know your only hope's Christ. Amen. Hey, but let me share this with you. There's not only the search, but there's a shout. We find twice, verse 7 and verse 10, there's something happens in heaven when sinners get saved. Now, some Baptists, when they come get saved, may act like a whole big deal. Amen. Some Baptists have to hear the pastor say, and all God's people said, amen. In heaven, they know it happened and it breaks out. I believe the saints rejoice, but I believe according to verse 10, it's the Lord himself. He shouts and rejoices. He bought you. Amen. He rejoices that you came to him. Amen. By the way, let me throw this out before I get done. The reason a lot of folk don't shout when a sinner come get saved, they ain't been under the burden, not under the load. You get burdened over a sinner. Amen. Get pushing away from that meal table. Getting in that secret place of praying for them. Boy, and they come to church and whole time the preacher's preaching, you're agonizing your heart. Oh, God, would you get a hold of them? Would you save them? And they jump up out of that pew and come to the altar. There's something inside of you begins welling up. And as soon as they stand up, they say, what happened to you, sir? What happened to you, ma'am? They said, I just got saved. They ain't nobody has to prime and pump you. Ain't nobody got to say all God's people said amen. Hey, there's something break out in your heart. You'll wave a hand, holler hallelujah. I glory to God, praise God. Have they got saved? Amen. Oh, that celebration. There ought to be a celebration when sinners get saved. Amen. We ought not act like we're here and it's boring. Amen. By the way, the greatest thing happening in any service, a sinner gets saved. Amen. I promise you this, I don't have to know them. They get in, I'm going to rejoice. Amen. You probably can tell I don't come just to watch. Wait around and see if you'll jump in with me. I just jump in. Water's fine. Help yourself. Get in with me. Amen. Hey, when sinners get saved, we ought to rejoice. If they can rejoice in heaven, we ought to be able to rejoice on earth. Are you lost in the house? You've never been saved? Oh, the world will tell you, oh, you get saved. You get religion, as they call it. You'll miss out. You'll miss out. Honey, I ain't missing out on nothing but hell. Amen. I got everything when I got saved. And by the way, I still am finding out what all I got. Amen. I've been saved over 32 years now, and I still find out what happened that night I got saved. Amen. I'm still like a kid in a candy store, excited, looking and wanting everything he sees. That's how my heart rejoices. Hey, I want to tell you something. We rejoice with you if you'll get saved today. The Holy Ghost speaking to your heart. You're as lost as that piece of silver, but you can be saved today. Leave out of here a child of the living God. By the way, you go and read in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, on the day of Jubilee when it began. Jubilee had a lot of things would go on in that year of Jubilee. But one of them was slaves that get set free. What a good way to start Jubilee at Gateway this morning. If some old slave to sin make their way down an old-fashioned altar and bow down and call on the Lord, hey, they'll get those chains broken and they'll be set free. I say, hey, they couldn't be a better way to kick her off. You can come today. I wouldn't put it off. Father, thank you for the attention of your people. Use the message for your honor and your glory. Oh, Lord, I do pray for that sinner here today. Please speak to their heart. Lord, I ask you for that one that's backslid. They'll make things right, get back in fellowship with you. But, Lord, I really pray for the sinner today. They wouldn't let anything or anyone keep them from getting saved. Have your way in this invitation time. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just a moment. I wonder today, is there someone, would be honest, there's nobody looking around, and we're not going to come to your pew and drag you down an aisle either. We're just wanting to pray for you today. And you, by raising your hand today, would say, preacher, I'm the one lost in the house today. I'm lost. I see that little hand. Somebody else, preacher, I'm lost. You're concerned about your soul enough that you'd raise and say, preacher, pray for me. I know I need Jesus. I'm lost in the house. I'm not asking you about being baptized and being a member of this church. I'm asking you, have you been born again? Because there's a big difference. How many here today can raise their hand and say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved"? Would you raise your hand, "Preacher, I'm saved and I know it"? Amen. You can put them down. Great number of hands. Maybe you're here today and you've got a family member or a friend that's lost. Maybe God, the Holy Ghost, has dealt with you afresh and new about witnessing to them and praying for them. I'm going to tell you, this altar's open. I'd come pray for them again. Some of you got children been lost a long time. I wouldn't give up. I wouldn't quit. Some of you got grandchildren. Some of you got great-grandchildren that are lost without God. I'm telling you, friend, they need somebody to tell them about Jesus. They may never come hear your pastor preach. They may never go hear another man preach. But you'll be the one that can take them the gospel and be a witness to them. I want us to stand. Folk are coming. Everybody standing, please, if you're able. While we stand, you close your eyes, bow your head. They're going to get us in a verse of invitation. You mind the Lord. These around the altar want to encourage you to stay till you're satisfied. You that raised your hand and said you're lost, you could come today and be saved. You could leave out of here a child of the living God. While we sing.